We got out of our closed session in record time for once and weren't late, so that's good. I'm going to go ahead and open the meeting. Director Olinger is going to give the prayer, and Director Crowther is going to give the Pledge of Allegiance. If you would stand if you can, please.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A moment of prayer. Gracious Lord, source of our strength and well-being, we bow our hearts and minds to give thanks for all that you do for us. We are in gratitude for the young students, their loving parents who are here being honored tonight, for their creativity in fostering water conservation through calendar drawings. And now we seek your guidance as the panel considers approval of the proposed 2019-20 operating and capital budget. In your name, amen.
Okay, with that said, I call the meeting to order. Madam Secretary, roll call, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Here.
Director Greg Young?
Here.
Director Dr. Clifford Young? So absent. Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Here.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Here. All right, with that said, I move that we adopt the agenda. Do I have a second?
I will second.
All right, Madam Secretary, roll call, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. All right. Rather than move into public participation right away, and tonight as a courtesy, because there's been a lot out in the media, I'm going to extend the time for those who wish to get up here and speak so you can talk about what you got, just as a courtesy tonight. With that, we're going to go into the information. We're going to go into the presentation. With that, I guess, Nassim, are you going to be handling these presentations? All right. It's all yours. Take it over.
Good evening, folks. How are you guys doing this evening? Great. Well, tonight we do have a presentation, Dr. Taylor, Vice President Crowther, and members of the board. We do have a presentation on the annual water conservation poster contest. Just so everyone is aware, we had over 200 participants from throughout our district that participated in this. And 12 winners were selected over the past few weeks on those posters. Tonight, hold on 1 second, excuse me. As I announce the winners of the contest, I would ask that you go ahead and come forward, the students, and the board of directors will be, if you guys, board of directors, if you guys don't mind coming up shortly after, we'll go ahead and be taking pictures individually, one of each child and the board of directors. Following that, we're gonna go ahead and take one group photo with the teachers as well. Hello, come on in. No worries. We're going to take a group picture with the board of directors, all the winners, and the teachers as well. And from there, parents, you're more than welcome to go ahead, and we'll be taking individual photos with families out here. We have a backdrop set up, and we'll be taking pictures as well. If you choose not to take pictures, our staff will be taking photos, and we'll be posting those on our Facebook account. If you do not have Facebook, please feel free to grab a business card from me, and I'd be more than welcome to, more than happy to email this to you. But please do follow us on Facebook. We post a lot of very informative information, and we look forward to communicating with you in social media. Tonight, we are pleased to have the student winners be recognized by the board of directors. And first, we will have Reese McKinney. Is it Reese McKinney? Can I have, our directors, do you guys mind coming forward? And is Miss Budak? Okay. Do you mind coming forward? We'd love to for you to take a picture also with the board of directors. Sorry about that.
Well,
have you guys come up in the middle.
And assistant general managers, you're more than welcome to join if you'd like. All right, great. Following, we have Kelly Nelson. Kaylee Nelson with also with the, excuse me? She's not present. Okay, we'll go ahead and put that aside for her. Thank you so much. And now we're going to have Miss Lee's class. Is Isabel Antrim here? Congratulations. Congratulations. And now we have, with Ms. Pinheiro's class, Alexa Hale.
Oh, yes. I'll give that. Yeah, you can give that to her, and then I'll get the other ones right now. There you go. Sorry about that.
One more. Thank you so much. And now we have from Miss Israel, Miss Israel's class, we have Leah Gustafson. Now we have with Dr. Wright's class, Valeria Davila. And just so everyone is aware, I didn't mention. And now we have, with Dr. Wright's class, Josephine Vasquez. Again, in Dr. Wright's class, Dr. Wright's class is very successful in this program. We have Jaden Rosales. Is Jaden here? No, okay. Well, we'll make sure to save that. In Mrs. Hollis's class, we have Isaiah Mora. Is Isaiah here?
No.
Nope. Okay.
Does that mean we get
Thank you for letting me know that. We will go ahead and that was another item that I was going to mention. Each winner is also a recipient of a $50 gift card to Target. Okay. Now we have Joel Cisneros from Miss Holistic's class. Joel, awesome. Thank you so much. Congratulations, Joel. And Alexander Perez with Mrs. Holistic's class. No? Thank you so much for your help. And now we have Mrs. Rashid with, for Mrs. Rashid's class, we have Marisol Amador. Rashid, I apologize. Okay, well, we definitely appreciate those can I get all, who here is a teacher that had a student that won? Please go ahead and come on up. We're going to be giving you a gift card as well. So they just get a gift card and a water bottle. And then if you don't mind just taking a picture as well, we would appreciate that. And actually, would you mind joining them? You're a principal and you're definitely supportive of the program. We appreciate it. And we want to make sure we grab a picture. All right, we're just going to take one more picture and then we're done. All right, and then now one last picture will actually be all the students that won, all the winners. If you wouldn't mind just coming forward, the winners. Winners, do you guys mind coming up? If the students who won can come up, please. Bring your certificate with you. Thank you. Everyone's good for the picture. All right, if you can look at the camera right in the middle first, please, and then we can go and take some more after that. Ready? 1, 2, and 3. And we'll take one more. That's it? Okay. All right, parents, just a few seconds, please. All right, thank you so much. We definitely appreciate your attendance. Let's go right now. And if you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and exiting. We're going to continue having the meeting, but we're going to have we have a backdrop here for everyone. And just so everyone knows, this is this year's calendar. The winners will be in next year's calendar. We gave this to be, you know, an example of what exactly your child's calendar will look like. And if you have any questions, feel free to chat with me. I'll be outside. And thank you so much for your participation. This is a great program that we put on every year. Thank you by the board of directors.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, board.
Thank you, Nassim.
Thank you. All right, moving right along. Clarence on customer service improvements and goal presentation.
We're gonna miss that tonight. The employee is sick.
What about water reliability improvement program update.
Rudy is here to make that presentation.
All right, come on up, Rudy.
Hello, President of the Board, members of the Board, general audience. I'm going to give an update for the Well 8 emergency rehabilitation for our water improvement reliability. So, Well 8, located north of Peppers, south of the 210 freeway here in Rialto. Where's the?
I don't know what it is, but I like it.
Sorry if I seem a little out of it. I got a little stomach bug, so I'm
that's all right.
Not feeling that great right now. Well 8A location first drilled on August 1st, 2002 and stopped being used in 2012 due to high water levels in surrounding basins and wasn't currently needed at the time. It is currently needed now due to low water levels and new development within West Valley Water District. This is the impacted pressure zones that Well 8A will provide water to. If you see that, it's going to be pressure zone 4 and pressure zone 3. Well 8A was rehabilitated by Tri-County Pump. So this is pictures of the pump removal of the columns and shafting. This began April 3rd through April 8th. After that, they had a video of the well, Well 8A, to check the the casing to make sure it's in good shape and see how it is before they do the brush and bell. You can see on the right-hand picture, that's pictures of the actual casing. It's kind of beat up, but after the brush and bell, it cleans it up a little bit. So this is the brush and bell, and you can see in the top left-hand corner, that's the equipment they use, and it picks up the big pieces you see in the right-hand corner, big chunks of rust deposits. And afterwards, they get rid of it. You can see that little bin on the bottom right-hand corner. After that, they re-video just to make sure how the well looks after it's been brush and belled to see if there's any deficiencies, if there's any holes, make sure they clean out the perforations on the casing. After that, they do a pump test. And we're going to check because we want to drop the water level 100 feet. So after that, we pump test for 24 hours with a suggested gallons per minute, which we're trying to maintain 2,500 gallons per minute, which we did achieve. And this is 100 feet lower of dropping the bowls. And we also tested for water quality. Everything came back good, so there's no issues with water quality. Well 8A, proposed schedule completion. New bowl length will be 500 feet with a 2,500 gallon per minute pumping rate with new pumping water level of 438 feet. There was no significant water quality issues that test results show. And the total completion price for phase one, which is a tear down slash pump test, and phase two, which is replacement of Collins, shafting and bowls and lowering, is not to exceed $150,000. And that is it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Good job. Any questions? No questions. All right. Let's move into public participation. Any person wishing to speak to the Board of Directors on matters listed or not listed on the agenda within its jurisdiction is asked to complete a speaker card, which has been done, and submit it to the district clerk. Each speaker is limited to 3 minutes, except for tonight. As a courtesy, we're going to go ahead and extend it to anybody who has a speaker card up here and wishes to speak. They can speak until they're spoke out. Let's see. Under the State of California Brown Act, the Board of Directors prohibited from discussing or taking action on any item not on the posted agenda. Comments related to notice public hearings and business matters will be heard during the occurrence of the item. Is that clear? All right. All right, so the first speaker we have will be our counsel. Mr. Robert DeFoya.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak, Mr. President. I have been a public official for many, many years. I've worked for city attorney as a city with cities. I worked for water companies. I worked at a lot of places, and I've never come up in a public communication. And frankly, I wish I didn't have to do it today. But sometimes things are said about you and things are done to you that are despicable. And good people have to stand up and say something. This is my time. Dr. Young has filed a lawsuit against me, claiming that I have accepted bribes, or I have made bribes and accepted kickbacks, and a variety of other untoward things. Let me tell you here today, I would not and I did not ever accept a bribe, make a bribe, ever accept a kickback, solicit a kickback, or receive a kickback. It's untrue. It's made out of whole cloth. My reputation has been forever damaged by this, and it's being done for political purposes. However, I will wear this battle scar proudly, because I'm not the first one that Dr. Young has smeared and tried to destroy for his own political purposes and for his own personal gain. And I will not be the last one that he does this to. Let me give you a little background about me. I was appointed twice as general counsel of this very water district. I wish Dr. Young was here, because I want to speak to him directly. He voted for me the first time that I came before this board. The second time I came before this board, he voted for me again. Less than a year ago, the man voted for me. What happened? How did I become a crook? What happened was, Dr. Young was doing inappropriate and corrupt actions on this board. The first thing he did was fire the entire executive board. Then he was about to do it again. He had berated our employees that had made complaints against him, and there are existing complaints against this man. That's why this is happening, because there are complaints against him. So he takes the first shot. And the things that he did was improper. His board members would not stand for it. Mike Taylor, Kyle Crowther, and Director Olinger decided that was enough and removed him as president. That's what changed. Everything changed. Now I'm a crook as soon as that happened. Because everyone that voted against Dr. Young and anyone that Dr. Young believes helped them is now a crook and is now going to jail and is now the worst person that's ever been in this district. Absolutely corrupt. It's all untrue. The only thing that changed was Dr. Young was removed as president. I didn't change. I'm the same guy he voted for. Not once, but twice. Less than a year ago. Same guy. I've been a lawyer for 27 years. I've represented Fortune 500 companies, Starbucks, Ford, Sony. I've represented cities. I've represented water districts. I have never been accused of anything of this nature. And I say it again because I think it's important. I've never taken a kickback. I've never made a bribe. These are all political and designed to remove President Taylor, Director Crowther, and anyone Clifford Young believes is working with them. These allegations have not only been made about me, but Dr. Young made these allegations about these two good men. These two men are police officers. They have lived their life upholding the law and serving the people. Officer Crowther is a police officer today and every day goes out on that street and puts his life on the line for the rule of law, to protect people. He wouldn't do such a thing, and I know it. It's despicable for somebody to accuse a law enforcement officer of something like that for their own personal gain. He did the same thing with Dr. Taylor. 38 years law enforcement, Medal of Accommodation for saving lives in the field. Rose up through the ranks, police chief. He follows the law, he lives by the law, and he does not break the law. And neither do I. Now, I believe that these things are being made, these allegations are being made to hide the true nature of this man, Clifford Young. He's a crook. He's a thief. He's corrupt. He's evil. And I am not just going to make these allegations. I'm going to prove them. He made allegations about me with no documents whatsoever. I have them all right here. Let's go through a few of them. Dr. Young has caused this district to receive multiple lawsuits caused by his graft and corruption. Suzanne Cook filed a whistleblower lawsuit against Clifford Young, claiming abuse of district funds. Let me read to you a little bit about what she says. I was alerted by a member of a county team that Dr. Young had submitted an expense report from a convention he had attended previous February and had been reimbursed by the district for expense of one of the district's consultants who had also attended the convention. I was informed that Dr. Young had paid the consultant's hotel bill with his own credit card in order to receive Marriott reward points, but he neglected to inform the consultant, and therefore Dr. Young and the consultant were reimbursed for the same expense. Dr. Young never incurred that expense. The consultant did. Dr. Young received reimbursement. The board secretary then came to Ms. Cook and informed her that the consultant wished to write a check to the district for the amount of the hotel bill, as that is what Dr. Young had advised. I was shocked that Dr. Young would purposefully violate the code of conduct for personal benefit by impermissibly expensing travel costs that he did not personally incur. I immediately informed accounting personnel and the board secretary. She goes on to outline a number of other illegal activities. She was fired. That's one of the lawsuits that we're paying for today, these ratepayers. And any of these documents that I'm going through here are all public records. Anybody that wants these documents can send a public records request to the West Valley Water District asking for all the complaints made against Clifford Young and any other personal complaints made against him, and you'll receive them. The next one is Karen Logue, also a whistleblower lawsuit. Let's see what she says about Dr. Young. Almost immediately upon his appointment as president of the board, Young began to exert his will and line his pockets and those of his friends at the expense of district customers. Goes on a section called Young's Raid on the District Treasury. They go on to talk about how Dr. Young established recruitment procedures to hire at least seven of his former friends and business associates. Goes on to talk about Dr. Young awarding contracts to his friends, circumventing district's competitive procurement process. Value of those contracts, $288,000. Value of the recruitment procedures and the people he hired improperly, $260,000. And goes on to talk about a trip to Washington, D.C. that was never approved by the board, yet Dr. Young received reimbursement even though he never went to the conference. It's a fact. I've got documents to prove it. Here's one from the Office of the Attorney of the District Attorney. Dr. Young, complaints were filed against Dr. Young for this, what I just talked about, going to a trip in Washington, D.C., getting reimbursed for it and never going. He never went to the trip, and he was reimbursed over $1,300 that he stole from the district. Here's what the Office of the District Attorney says about that. Dr. Young acknowledges that these payments were inappropriate. Dr. Young then went to pay back the money that he stole from the district. I don't know how this was not prosecuted, but I think somebody needs to look into it. How can somebody steal $1,300 from the district, admit that he did it, and nothing happens? This same letter from the district attorney is about a personal LinkedIn account that Dr. Young charged the district for. These are all facts. You don't have to believe Robert Tafoya. Documents don't lie. People do. People lie. Documents don't lie. Dr. Young also sought reimbursement for a victory celebration that he had at Sierra Lakes Country Club. Let me read to you the flyer that Dr. Young sent out, and we've got the email, all of his campaign supporters that are on the email, and the email came from Dr. Young's campaign email account. Let me read what he says that he charged the district for. You ratepayers paid for this party. Dr. Young wants to thank you for all of the hard work you provided in the campaign. This is a quote for the West Valley Water Board. Your work paid off in a successful effort, so we want to celebrate a job well done with you. Thursday, December 7th, the district paid for this victory celebration for Dr. Young. That's illegal. And there are more complaints against Dr. Young by employees currently. Debbie Martinez has filed a complaint against Dr. Young for harassment and discrimination and retaliation. Clarence Mansell, our general manager, has a current complaint against Dr. Young for discrimination, retaliation, and harassment. It continues. The graft and corruption and the improper action continues, and it won't stop, because the whole idea of this lawsuit against me and these others is to remove them so that Dr. Young can take over power again and start his corruption again. Dr. Young submitted reimbursement for $900 for a toner of his personal computer at his home. His personal computer. He told the district that he only uses that personal computer for district business. That is an odious lie. I was in Dr. Young's living room during the campaign, back when he liked me. I was in his living room when he was printing out campaign materials on that printer. And I'll testify under penalty of perjury. He's also arranged for his campaign manager to be paid $2,500 a month from this district for doing nothing. His campaign manager, David Morgan, is being paid $2,500 a month by the federal lobbyist that Clifford Young put in place. And he's done nothing, nothing. He's just skimming $2,500 off the top of that contract. Dr. Young has hired his campaign workers. Right after he got elected as president of the board in this last election, he created a brand new position called the assistant board secretary position. After he created that position, he hired his campaign worker, Patricia Romero. I was in his living room when Patricia Romero was in there doing his campaign. I was there. Patricia Romero then moved in with Dr. Young. Literally was living with the man. She's an assistant board secretary. She answers to the board. There's something inappropriate about an employee living with someone that's supposed to be supervising him. It's wrong. It was wrong then, it's wrong now. Not surprisingly, Patricia Romero and all of his political appointees are the ones that filed this lawsuit against us. Patricia Romero, Naisha Davis, Clifford Young. It's not surprising at all. Right after the election, he also got Scott Olson hired here at the district that it was his campaign worker. Scott Olson literally took me in his truck, walking around, driving around the district, hanging up signs, and doing all kinds of things for his campaign. And as soon as the man is elected and made president, all of a sudden Scott Olson's back there. This has begun with Patricia Romero filing an FPPC complaint against me and Mike Taylor and others, alleging that we are trying to steal $50 million from the district. That's what she said. It's right there in the FPPC complaint. PRA request gets it all. The FPPC investigated that complaint and rejected it. So that wasn't enough. Dr. Young then files this QTAM lawsuit and gives it to the Attorney General and asks the Attorney General to prosecute all of us. As with the FPPC complaint, the Attorney General investigated it and rejected it. This is not easy for me to come up and say, and I know it's not easy for you to hear. But something's got to stop. This has got to stop. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Robert. All right, next, Mr. Don Griggs.
Wow. Don Griggs, President, West Valley Water District Ratepayers Association. I have quite a lot to say, but I'm going to hold back a little bit because now is not the time. I'm a little angry right now, so I've learned to maintain myself when I get a little bit too angry. But I have some things to say. First of all, I could make some comments on our council, what was said there, but I'll wait. Maybe at the end I'll comment on that. But I'd like to say something that I've been thinking over and I've written down. Let me say that first. I hadn't really planned on being here tonight. There was I had a death in my family, and I was in Pasadena back and forth. And Mr. Brown is a little under the weather tonight, so after finding out he couldn't make it, I made it a point to try and come. And the strange thing of it is, I'm in Pasadena, I was in the waiting room while he was having surgery, and I'm trying to rest my mind, and so I pick up the Pasadena newspaper to kind of get my mind rested. And what do I have in Pasadena? Wow. Read the headlines. We made headlines, folks. Kickbacks and bribes alleged. Whistleblowing claims, misconduct by former current city leaders serving Rialto's West Valley Water District. And Pasadena, come on. I mean, it's sickening. But let me continue. We pay, you play. I mean, we ratepayers. We pay, you play. After reading several newspapers last week concerning you in the district, I became frustrated with you. No, that is not strong enough. I became downright angry and sorry for the ratepayers who pay while you play. I want you to know that I am smart enough to know that Clifford is tossing up these allegations to draw attention away from his personal problems with the DA concerning him getting reimbursed for the political celebration dinner in 2017. But he brought up some things about you that I have not heard you refute. I want to know, are they true or not? I will assume they are true until I hear from you saying it is not. I know from facts presented to you that some of you have charged alcohol to the district. I know that Cliff has paid back money to the district because he broke the law, according to the DA. I know that Clifford has cost the district almost $1 million in legal fees for firing employees unjustly. I know that you lost $5 million insurance policy. I know that you have paid people for not working while interim staff sit in their positions. I know that you have hired political friends such as Pacheco, Olson, Nassim, all these people in high-paying positions, with Mr. Jeremiah being the latest. With all of that, just for starters, I have a hard time trying to trust you. I want you to have to say something that is believable to me. The saying on the street is, if you see something, say something. Well, I see something. Now I want to say something. You know, I've been around a long time, and I have come face to face with some of the best. So do the right thing on behalf of the ratepayers who selected you. You know, and you,
The thing that irks me is as a ratepayer, all this turmoil that's going on, who's going to get stuck with the bill? Us, the ratepayers, for all the wrongdoings that are going on in this district. You know, it's strange that Hardy and I saw this coming a year and a half ago. And we were right here, and we every week we've been right here saying the same thing you guys are saying right now. You know, we're smart enough to see it, and hell, I don't know anything about water. And you guys can't see it? Now, Mr. Counsel, I must say that, yes, I appreciate what you're saying, but damn, how come you didn't say this when he first started doing this? You guys let this guy bully you like your kids. Be a man. Stand up. Tell him to sit his butt down and follow the rules. You know, he's a micromanager in this district while the board sit around and let it happen. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry, I'm starting to lose my temper a little bit, but it deserves to be. When I'm a ratepayer and I'm paying for all the crap you guys are doing, all the lawsuits, all the interns that we had. When I first came here, you had about three or four intern managers were paying over $100,000, almost $200,000. Three people were paying. I never met half of them. They didn't even make the meeting. They're sitting around at home. Never had that seat up there, but we're paying their salaries. You know, that's ridiculous. You know, you guys got to get on the ball. Matter of fact, maybe you should just go home. I don't know, but I tell you what, we're not going to take it. It's utterly ridiculous. I got a lot more to say, but I'm trying to hold my temper. There's other people who like to speak. But, you know, the things that that are being brought up is some of the things that we know about. We know, we do our research, Mr. Brown and I. We don't just get up here and talk because we like to talk. Things that we say, we know. We know. I got things that I know that you don't even know I know on all of you. And I don't take time to tell it because, you know, we develop what we develop, and we put together what we put together. When it's time to release information that we have, we release it. And I know a lot more than you think I know. I know a lot more. I know about all the donations. I know about the M&M. What is M&M? Oh, money and marijuana. Oh, yeah, I know all about that, too. We're not stupid down here. Think because we're in the Inland Empire, we don't know anything. We're a bunch of hicks. You got to be kidding me. We got to be kidding me. Come on. You know, we deserve the right to have people up here that support us as ratepayers. You got people here can't even pay the daggone water bills. And by the way, you give them rebates. Why'd you give a rebate? Come on. I mean, I saw through that sitting down there. Stevie Wonder could see that. You give them rebates, please. Rebates. Hell, you got $50 rebate? Come on. That was a political move. So you're going to have that when you run for a rerun for office? Wow, look what we did for you. We gave you rebates. Come on, don't pull that game with me. We're so sick of this little shenanigans you guys are pulling. Come on, be right. Help the ratepayers. That's what you're here for, not to satisfy your own little whatever it is you guys are doing and all the little allegations. Some of them may be true, some are not. I don't know. $500 bottles of wine and cigars and hiring people that are not qualified for the positions. You know, if I'd known that, hell, I'd have put in for the job. I'd love to make $200,000 a year sitting around not knowing anything but water. I knew enough. I know to drink it, water my lawn, and wash my car. Is that enough? Hell, give me $200,000. I'll sit up on the panel. It doesn't matter to me. You know, you guys ought to get it together, please, for ratepayers' sake. You got people out there that can't even pay their water bill, and you're down here spending millions of dollars on litigations. It makes no sense. And I'm not going to be happy with all the hirees you're doing to people that are not qualified. Everybody comes and they seem to be connected somehow. How is that? Wow. We saw that coming years ago, Mr. Brown and I. We knew exactly the people you're pulling in. Hell, we knew about them, and we know about more. But we're not saying anything. We're just holding back and watching because right now the rats are deserting the ship. And that's what happened with Mr. Young. And by the way, I don't know if he's excused or not. I don't know why he's here. Is he excused? I mean, if he's not, why is he not here? I think you have to either call in or mail in or do something when you're excused. Is he sick? I saw him yesterday. I was at the birthday party for the mayor, and he was there. It's strange he's not here. My God, we're paying. Come on. If he has a problem with everybody here, he should be man enough to stand up and face the problems. He's that way. And you guys let it happen. You know, he's not God. You sit around and let this guy bully you like you're afraid of him. We're not afraid of him. That's why we spoke up. And it shouldn't take us as ratepayers to speak up. It should be people that we elected to the board to speak up for us ratepayers. And you're not doing your jobs. It's ridiculous. And I'm tired of having to come up here all the time and raise all kind of cane about something that shouldn't be. You guys are grown. You're getting paid. We pay you all, paying you guys to have your little meetings and everything else. Do your job, you know. You got this guy micromanage this office? That's not his job. That's what your general manager gets paid for. Let him do his job. And, you know, somebody need to stand up and speak and let people know that you're not going to take it anymore from no one. I don't care who's up in that seat. You still have a responsibility to us as ratepayers. You know, and it hurts me and irks me that I get people out there that complain to me that they can't pay their water bill. And, you know, this is not Beverly Hills. You got people out here that are on minimum wage. And you should be thinking about them. And here we are paying people $200,000 and more that have no skills, you know. And we're paying for it as ratepayers. No people out there that can't pay their bills, they're paying for that. That's ridiculous. And I got more to say, but I'm so angry, I'm done now. But take it to heart, because we know a lot more that's going on. And I know something that, you know, we'll pass that on. And on surface, just like this surface, we knew about everything that's going on now. We just didn't say anything. We knew sooner or later it would surface, and it has. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Okay, I got both the rises. It doesn't matter to me which one wants to talk first. Deanna?
Diana.
All right.
Diana Ariza, I'm a ratepayer. And I have a few questions. How many meetings?
Diana, can you lift that microphone up a little bit?
How many meetings can he miss, according to the Brown Act? How many meetings?
I have no idea.
Before he has to step down?
I have no idea.
You never thought about looking into it?
There's no attendance.
Water law, your water attorney here should be able to tell you. You know, the guy that knows it all? That I had to correct his office about when there was three board members up there, and they were voting 2-1, and Clifford was passing the measure, until I got up and told him that's not right. You have a 5-person board; it has to be at least three yes votes. So they looked into it, and I was right. And you never mentioned the monthly payment he gets from PERS for $539 that he got through the board fraudulently. That's never mentioned. He's up to about $20,000 on that now. And I was told, we're going to take care of it. Is it taken care of? Has it been taken care of? Does he still get it? Does he, Clarence? Nobody has a word to say. And his buddy over here, as far as I'm concerned, you should all walk out of here and say, I'm resigning because none of you have done the honest thing. None of you have done the honest thing. Don's the only one up there that's honest and straightforward. The rest of you are there because Clifford wanted you there. And I've been watching this board since June of 2015. Is that when you retired, Butch? Because that's when he made his list of people that he wanted out of this district. And I have a copy of the list. And he got them all but one. He got rid of everybody. Anybody that was loyal to Butch was on that list. And he got rid of anybody here that had any knowledge of what this district, how it was built, how it was run, anything. You don't have any knowledge left. They're all gone. Well, there's a couple of them left, and you're getting rid of them, I can see, too. You know? It's a shame. You don't know it, but you guys are the laughingstock of the water industry, because I still see those people and talk to them. And believe me, I post everything I get. And on his little article, the whistleblower article that he did, I posted it, but I had a little precursor to it. I said, this article may be 100% true, but you could take Clifford Young's name and replace it with anybody he accuses of whatever he accuses them of, and it'd still be 100% true. So wake up, you know. You're destroying a perfect, and how much does this young man over here who has no experience in water make? And why is he the assistant general manager? Anybody answer that? What did you owe him that he's sitting over there now? What happened to Mr. Pacheco, who's on paid leave and has a company car? Did he leave his company car here when he went home? Is it parked out there? A lot of questions. We'll find out.
Thank you, Mr. Ariza. Okay, Mr. Ariza, you're next.
Mr. President, members of the board, you know, I spent 52 years working at this water district, 20 years as general manager. You see all these pictures on the board behind you, up there on the wall, of them old black and white pictures? I worked with every one of them. They were all just citizens of this district, people that came in here and wanted to do their duty as a citizen. There were no big trips anywhere or anything else. We never even went to Washington, D.C. until we had a contamination problem. We went back there to get some money and try to do some things back there in D.C. And we did a real good job of it. As a matter of fact, we had a great environmental attorney that opened a lot of doors back there for us because of that. But, you know, those people, I didn't work with the guy, the colored picture there, I didn't work with you, Mike. You're the only one. I even worked with Clifford for 2 years, so. I've been gone for 5 weeks, took a nice little trip, saw a lot of the United States. But while I was gone, of course, I saw all those newspaper articles because people send them to me. And it's embarrassing. I built this district, or helped build this district, with the help of a lot of those board members for those 52 years that I worked here, 20 years, as I said, as general manager. And we had a great reputation throughout the water industry, and that's gone to hell. It's gone. You know what? You can't come back from the stuff that's in the newspaper right now. And, you know, I know Clifford accused several of you, the two board members and the general manager, and I would take that with a grain of salt because I know Clifford, but I also know he was your mentor. He taught you all. That's the sad part of it. Even your attorney says he's sitting in his house during the election time. You know, that's the sad part of this. This district has gone to hell. The best thing that could happen to this district, if you all resign, that includes you too. You know, I had so much hope for Clarence when he came in here. I knew him, thought he'd do a great job. But you know what? He just fell right in with the rest of the crap. Why? You know, you had an opportunity to run a water district and do what it needed, serve water to the people at a reasonable price. That's all you had to do. But you got all these grandiose ideas. You want to build a brine line. You want to put a clinical lab here. You know, we don't need any of that. We've had a brine line in Rialto for 20 years. It's right down in our district. Why would we build a new one? Hiring practices has been brought up. Who in the heck hires people that don't even know that water runs downhill? What is wrong with you people? Where is this going to end? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ariza. I have a card up here from, I'm not sure about your last name, sir, Al Vogler. I hope I pronounced it correctly. I apologize if I didn't.
It's my handwriting, sir. No apology needed.
Okay.
Good evening. I'm Al Vogler, and I represent 20-plus years of political participation, some of it very painful. I had a 37-year job doing investigations and research, and part of what I do now is watching politics. I'm retired. I came out of an environment in downtown Los Angeles that I moved away from in 1972, and I went up to the desert. And at that time, my hopes were very, very high. I raised a family there. We had a population of 7,500 people, and that was before politics infected the area. Tonight I'm here to make critical comments about West Valley Water District. I've not only found a variety of issues about which to complain, but specifically your hiring of the 28-year-old Brosowski as assistant manager for over $250,000 a year is, to say the least, outrageous. There is no way you can justify that. You cannot make comparisons out in the community of similar people with similar education and similar job experiences making that kind of money. His appointment is a political appointment. I need a name copy of all of the other candidates and their qualifications that you considered before you hired him. Mr. Brosowski is unqualified and undereducated. He claims an AA degree and an unknown degree from an internet college, as well as modeling and acting experience. His experience is a little more than as an aide to Supervisor Hagman, an associate of Bill Postmas, who is currently in prison, and he has political connections to Tony Strickland, who was fined $40,000 by the FPPC. Hiring Brosowski represents political patronage and potentially a platform from which to launder money. I might add that just two nights ago, Mr. Brosowski voted to approve a brand new annual contract through the city of Hesperia on behalf of Mr. Strickland for possibly about $80,000 a year. You are aware that your employee, Mr. Faruqi, was connected to Brosowski's campaign and the marijuana industry in Adelanto and Hesperia. Mr. Brosowski's Hesperia Council position was gained through deception. He was given information prior to his interview to be considered for the appointed council position, which gave him an unfair advantage in answering questions, and then he was appointed. His appointment gained him thousands of dollars worth of publicity in the local media, which created his then election. He represents Frontier Enterprises and the BIA and very high density building and inhumanly small apartments. Your board voted, as far as I know, 3-2 to hire Brosowski, and I speculate that you knew the political ramifications of your vote. Your vote represents a potential gift of taxpayer money. Mr. Brosowski boasts of his political transparency, and yet repeatedly he has failed to answer questions during public meetings, specifically Hesperia City Council meetings. On May 21st, Brosowski failed to inform the public or the Hesperia City Council that he had been hired by you on May the 16th, 5 days earlier. The Sun-Telegram published information about West Valley Water whistleblower filings and or lawsuits to be filed. A comparison has now been made between West Valley Water and Bell California, and former manager Rizzo, now in prison. Rizzo most recently was from Bell California, but he was formerly the manager of Hesperia, California. Does this board possess enough intelligence to terminate Mr. Brosowski to save your agency? Your behaviors represent almost identically actions of former San Bernardino County Assessor Postmas. Mr. Brosowski is symbolic of a political pattern that is now 20 years old. I've observed those patterns year after year. It is the same pattern. It is a cookie cutter recipe, and it has worked for the establishment in the past, and so far now, right here, it is working again. Perhaps you are not concerned about lawsuits because you feel you control the courts. Perhaps you are not concerned about the Rialto voters, who may be undereducated and lacking political experience. One of you, I believe it's the gentleman that's not here tonight, campaigned with the byline of local jobs for local people. Does Brosowski live in Rialto or Fontana or Colton? No, because during his campaign in Hesperia, he claimed that he lived in Hesperia to qualify for the city council position, and he didn't live in Hesperia. I am dismayed that you do not allow the public to speak during agendized items. That is an old trick that has been used for years in politics to quiet people that complain about government. The law says you have a choice. You may allow people to make comments about agendized items either during the agendized items or during your public comments. If you only allow them to make those comments during public comments, it may be an hour later before the agendized item even comes up. And by then, you board members have even forgotten what the public comment was about the agendized items. So I challenge you tonight to return to allowing the public to speak under agendized items. However, I don't know if you ever allowed that. I don't know your history. I can tell you this, that over the last 2 years, I made a survey of 15 Southern California agencies, and only one agency out of 15 did not allow public comments under agendized items. Now, with West Valley Water, it's 2 out of 16. You are not practitioners because of this agendized item dilemma of free speech. I hope if I've accomplished nothing else here tonight, that you allow the public to engage in becoming involved in what's going on down here. I see the size of your crowd. It's very small, but it's not the only agency like that. And one of those reasons is because people who used to attend meetings were driven out of them. They got tired of seeing the cookie cutter recipe all over again. So obviously my intention here tonight was to suggest that you do not retain the employment of Mr. Brosowski, that you all get together and you realize what his employment is doing to your reputation along with other problems that you have. Make the logical step. I'm sure that Mr. Brosowski is young enough that he will be able to move forward in politics and accomplish whatever it is he wishes to accomplish. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. All right, moving right along, the last speaker card we have is June Hayes. Thank you, June. Maybe a positive note tonight? It's all right, glass of wine.
June Hayes, Mr. President, members of the board, you're my customer. I don't get involved in your politics. I went to an interesting San Bernardino, because there's so many people here who don't know who I am, San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District board member, representing Division 1, of which West Valley and Rialto and Sierra Lakes are a part. I went to a very interesting workshop this morning and gave Clarence a copy of the PowerPoints from it. I'm sure it's stuff that all of your operators and all are aware of and involved in, but as a non-expert in water, I just thought I would share just a tiny little bit about it. There's a contaminant that has that was used since the 1940s. They're called PFASs, and there's also PFOAs. Don't ask me to tell you what they are, but they're not nice. They're things found in, for example, Teflon, waterproof textiles, Scotch Guard, waxes, food wrappers, microwave popcorn bags, dental floss, shampoos, sunscreens, moisturizers, cosmetics, aqueous film forming foam, that's that firefighting foam. They've been discontinued, but of course they're still around. And so they were talking about them today because these do have some potential health hazards. And at this point, we're just monitoring them. Several states are setting what's called action limits. There are a couple, Clarence, correct me if I make a mistake on this, okay, because I'm getting technical here. There are different kinds of limits that they have. One is an action limit or a notification limit, and one is a maximum contamination limit. There are no maximum contamination limits on these constituents at this point, and so everybody's looking at action limits. And California has set action limits for these things at 13 and 14 parts per trillion. Now, for the citizens who are here who may be even less aware of water than I am, when we talk about a part per billion, we're talking about one drop in a Olympic size swimming pool. So parts per trillion are 1/10 of a drop. So we're talking about very minor little things, but because we all want to have safe water, the regulators worry about that. So we're monitoring these things. There are people who are under mandatory monitoring, and if you're not under that and you happen to monitor and you monitor at the regular rate, then you would be grandfathered in with your data. I don't know what that means, but I just stated it, so you know what that means, right? But anyway, I just wanted to talk about it. It was very informative. Treatment is activated charcoal kinds of stuff, ion exchange, and I missed one. Ion exchange and and reverse osmosis. Just a little information, nothing to be panicky about, nothing to be concerned about. I'm sure Clarence and his ops team are taking care of any levels that are a problem. I don't know whether they're a problem in this area, but it was an excellent workshop, and I thought I'd share it with you. Thank you.
Thank you, June.
Thank you, June.
Mr. President, can we have a 5-minute bathroom break before we get into the agenda?
That sounds pretty good. How about we take a 5-minute little break for whatever we got to take care of? So we'll be back here at 8:02. If everybody would please take their seats.
Thank you for the break.
No problem. All right, Logan, we're going to go ahead and start the meeting. Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and start the meeting. We're going to move to the consent calendar. The consent calendar is items 1 through 5.
Mr. President, I would like to make a small correction to number 1, the meetings from last meeting.
Okay.
It notated there on page 13 that I recused myself early in the closed session. I just want to be clarified that I left before closed session actually truly began, that there was no discussion prior to after I left.
You're talking about the last meeting?
Yes.
I don't think you left before it started. I mean, closed session had started, and then when we went into the agenda or to the item, then you decided to leave.
Of course, but I just want to clarify that it wasn't, because right here it just says early. It doesn't denote the fact that I did not participate in any of the discussion.
Oh, okay.
That's all I'm just trying to clarify.
All right.
Is that okay, Counselor?
Oh, yes. No, I haven't said anything about that.
Yeah.
No, but I had one small comment.
Yes, go ahead.
Now that I was looking at those minutes, I noticed that that was the minutes where the district had approved the defense of Tafoya and Garcia and Robert Tafoya in that West Valley lawsuit. And I wanted to remind you that I have withdrawn that request. The district is not representing me and not defending me in that lawsuit.
That is correct. All right. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. So I'm going to move that we pass items 1 through 5. Do I have a second?
As amended.
As amended.
I'll second that.
Okay. I have a second. Madam Secretary.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Okay, let's move down to business matters. Business matters, items 6 through 12. Does anybody need to pull one for discussion?
Yes, I would like to have separate consideration for items 9 through 12.
Okay, you mean each item individually?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see, all right.
Although if we want to, we can probably do 10 and 11 jointly, but I do want separate
All right, let's do 10 and 11 jointly then. All right. I make a motion that we pass items 6 through 8 and do items 9 and 12 separately and 10 and 11 together. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Madam Secretary.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. All right. Let's move on to item 9. Item 9, Greg?
I just had a question for this, Clarence. Is there, because as I was reading this, and you have to forgive me, I've been working really late this week because it's new resident orientation at the hospital, so maybe it was just the fact that I've been working a lot overtime, but reading through here, this is not in the budget. Is that correct?
It's not in the budget, but we have the money in the budget. We're going to reallocate some funds.
From last year's budget.
This is an activity that's going to start this year, and so it's being paid for by funds this year.
So would it be the 1920 budget or the
1819 budget?
And where are those funds coming from? Do we know?
Yes.
Because I wasn't so much concerned about the need, obviously, for maybe some improvements, but I was just wondering why it wasn't budgeted.
It is budgeted under the capital budget.
Okay. So we do have a budget.
We do. And then we have a W number for it, and the current balance is about $144,000.
And that's in this current year's budget?
Yes. And okay. We want to spend that money before the end of the year.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, then we could change that then, I guess. Okay, I will go ahead and make the motion that we adopt item number 9.
I second it. Secretary, take the vote.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Okay, we'll move on to items 10 and 11 together. 10 and 11 together. Greg?
So, did a lot of thinking last night when I finally did get home. Regarding the budget, and so I did want separate discussion, and I would like these comments noted as my board report for the end of the agenda. Really don't want to get into tit for tat as far as, you know, viewpoints or philosophy as far as budgeting, but to me, I really cannot support this budget. I'm very concerned about where this budget leaves our debt coverage ratio. I think we're dangerously close to breaking our bond covenant. If we have another wet year and even just a couple things not go our way revenue wise, we're in a world of trouble. And what concerns me the most is that if you read the agenda and you didn't know anything about it, you get the impression that, oh yeah, our revenues are down, but we've tightened our belt. Well, we tightened our belt after we gained like 50 pounds. It's not quite the same thing. You can't go around adding almost $1.5 million worth of new people and then turn around and say, yeah, we're tightening our belts. And I do really appreciate all the department heads answering all my questions, trying to shave every last dollar we could, but we were doing it after it was already baked into the pie. The biggest cost around here is in people. And when we go and add a tremendous number of people to this district, that's going to blow up our budget, and that's exactly what this budget is. And it's really putting us in a situation where, if approved tonight, this pretty much guarantees that the board of next year is going to be faced really with only one choice, and that's to raise rates. And I'm not in favor of that, because I think that you got to live within your means. I represent one of the poorest parts of our district. When your income goes down, you don't massively increase your spending. But that's exactly what has occurred here over the last year. So I don't really want to get into an argument about this and that, but you know what? It's like, yeah, we do sometimes need more people. But you know what? There's also a time when you can add people, and then there's times where you're like, I really would like to add people, but we just can't afford it. I mean, I work for the county. Hell. Oh, I'm sorry. I swore again, but forgive me. It's been a long day. But it's like, I could add 10 more people to my unit at the hospital, and we'd still have a lot of work to get done. But I can't do that because we can't afford it. You know, you got to sometimes make do with what you got. And to me, I think that this budget really backs us into a corner as a board, and I'm just not in favor of that. And the people of my district who often work paycheck to paycheck, they live within their means. We should have to live within our means too. So I will be voting no on both of these measures. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. You know, Greg, I sat here for 2 days with you, and you went line by line through the entire budget. We even went back over it the second time. You went line by line through the entire budget. We made suggested changes that you gave us. There was a lot of cuts in the budget. The staff worked really hard on it, and you seemed like you were good with it, and all of a sudden you get an epiphany, and now you don't like it. And we went 2 days because you didn't have enough time to go through the budget. So I don't know what else to tell you. You got a competent staff here that put together a great budget. They made the changes that they had to make. We're living within our means. I don't know what else to do to make you happy with the budget. So that's just my comment about it. I don't want to get a long diatribe. There's some other things I could talk about. I'm not going to do it tonight because it's getting late. Nope. Does anybody else have something to say?
Yes, I do. I want to talk about the budget here just a little bit. I didn't get a chance the last two meetings that we had, the workshop. I be brief, but well-intentioned to raise some anxiety levels. Director Greg Young did a line-by-line and a thorough analysis in our budget workshop. I will be more general. Number one, our reserves are being depleted and are now insufficient to deploy all needed capital improvement projects and infrastructure needs. Two, bountiful rainfall has Okay, bountiful rainfall has depleted many of our water sales, reducing revenues. Number three, paying for groundwater replenishment is essential, and it's going to be very costly. Number four, risks of being self-insured need to be assessed. Five, lab testing is crucial to public health and safety and should remain outsourced to the experts. Cost us $1 million if we try to do it ourselves. Six, unforeseen contingencies, fires, natural disasters. We've had earthquake swarms. You've been reading about that in the local area. And they can really be devastating to our budget. We gave $6 million of unnecessary rebates to our ratepayers. The big winners in those rebates were some of our big customers that really don't need the rebates. I think the average customer, somebody mentioned in the public hearing, was somewhere around $50, $60. No more rebates, in my opinion. Number seven, our debt conveyance ratio has dipped to 1.50, with 1.20 being the red line minimum. I think, Director Greg, you mentioned this. Number nine, litigation costs are escalating. Many are self-inflicted. our speakers, I think, brought up that over $1 million of unnecessary litigation has cost the ratepayers already. Number 10, we've gone from, I think, 54 employees up to 90 employees. Post-retirement benefit costs are going to be unsustainable. Future boards are really going to have a problem if we continue to hire like we're hiring right now. In order to avoid further financial erosion, it is imperative that we begin operating in an austerity mode. A good starting point is to initiate a hiring freeze on all non-essential positions except those already authorized. And then we may want to take a look at what we heard tonight from some of the speakers in terms of some of the employees that have been employed. And I'm going to be taking a very close look at that. This probably comes as a surprise to you to hear that from me, because generally I tend to be a rather gentle type person, and I don't like to rock the boat too much. But I think we have an angry ratepayers, and I heard quite a bit tonight. The gentleman from Hesperia, Al Vogler, is that your name? Al Vogler, appreciate your comments. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Don. Did you have something?
I did. I just want to make something real quick. I appreciate Don's statements, and I appreciate Greg's statements. However, I just want to make it known that, speaking for myself and myself only, I understand everyone's concerns about budget constraints. Don brought up a lot of good points about money that's being spent. Another little point I want to bring up that in the engineering committee meeting that's brought to my attention. Good news is the economy's doing well. Bad news is the economy's doing well, so all of our projects tend to cost more money because there is more work out there than people that can do the work, so they raise the rates, and that's just how the world works. Also, unfortunately, we all live in a society that we know everything goes up over the years. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm in support of raising rates. However, it's just the fact of life. Everything over the years goes up. I also want to make mention the fact that I find it interesting that Director Young made all these suggestions to have all of this changed in the budget and then says he's not going to support the budget. I find that actually very disrespectful to staff and the general manager. So I'm saying on the record that I support the general manager and the staff and their hard work, and I trust that we are on the right track and doing the right things and getting everything done. Thank you, sir.
All right, if there's no further comments, I'm going to move that we pass items 10 and 11. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary, take the vote, please. Oh, go ahead, Don.
Okay. Despite my remarks, we need a budget. And I think we need to be taken, and I'm going to support the budget. However, I think we need to monitor that budget. And I said we should go into an austerity mode. And merely because we approve the budget doesn't mean that we have to spend it all. You know, we have to take a look as we go along through the year. And I'm looking to staff, you know, and Clarence, I know you are very fiscally minded as well. Take a look at, you know, where we can save, where we can balance this budget. We don't want a rate increase. You know, for years and years, we didn't have a rate increase, and then we had to have a rather draconian one, and that wasn't done. We should have done it incrementally over the years. But anyway, let's take a look and make sure that we spend wisely. We got to get our house in order.
All right. Director Olinger, thank you for your comments. Madam Secretary, take the vote, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
No.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. All right, let's move along to item number 12. Item number 12, Greg.
I just wanted a separate vote on the item. I'm still opposed, given that there's no actually stated statement of work to this thing. It's just legal mumbo jumbo. It doesn't actually say what Mr. Catherman's working on. I respect Mr. Catherman. He's very knowledgeable, but I don't believe in approving contracts that don't actually say what you're supposed to be working on. And that's open-ended, too. So that's it.
All right. I move that we pass item 12. Do I have a second?
I will second.
I have a second. Madam Secretary?
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
No.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Okay, let's move down to reports. First, we'll start with board members. I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to exercise a little privilege. First of all, I want to state that I'm a husband and a father of two wonderful children. I was a police officer for over 38 years for the state of California, the city of Baldwin Park. I was a police chief for over 5 years. I also, a little unknown thing, is I was a city manager for almost a year. I've always followed the laws of the state and continue to do so as your president of this board. I am not a corrupt politician. I took over the presidency to stop the corruption and continue to fight against wrongdoings wherever it appears here. And that's the reason I took this position. I did not want, nor did I seek this position. I can guarantee you, there's people up here that will tell you that. I had too much to do, and I really didn't want this responsibility. But I took it because I wanted to stop what was going on in this board. I got tired of seeing experienced people in this organization just being dismissed, and the litigation and the lawsuits that came out of that because of what was going on. When I first came here and I was new to it, I had no idea what was going on in this board. I had no idea what was happening at the Water District. But as I sat and I listened and I saw, I knew that there had to be a change, and there had to be a change quickly to stop this. I deny any of these allegations. I have never in my life taken a bribe from anybody. You can go back to my work. You can talk to my employees. I have never taken a bribe from anybody. I have never taken a bribe while I have sat on this board from anybody, period. And as one of the presidential campaign people in the campaign, I forget which one, Biden says, period, period, period. I have never taken money from anything related to my work at West Valley other than contributions, and that's it. Contributions because I'm a political figure. And that's why that's part of the process. You take contributions. I'll tell you why I think this happened. I'll explain to you why you've seen these newspaper articles. This is all about politics, dirty politics. It's not about any wrongdoings. There are no wrongdoings by me or these board members sitting up here. Clifford Young is angry. You know why he's angry? Because he's not the president of the board anymore. This is the second time he lost it. Why did he lose it? I was friends with this guy for like 5 years. He used to come over to my house 5 days a week. We'd sit there and watch Fox News, whether you disagree with it or not, and we would talk about politics and things that are going on in the world. I had no idea about this board. And one day he asked me to run for office for this water board. He told me all the nasty things that were going on around here and needed to be fixed. And I listened to him and I went, oh my God, that place is out of control. I need to go there and help you fix it. And he says, please, come on. So I ran my first election. I didn't get elected. I ran the second one and I did get elected. Was I over his house every day helping and stuff like that? Of course I was. He was over my house just as much. I wanted to get here, and I wanted to help him fix what was going on at this water district because, you know what, I'm just a ratepayer like the rest of you. I'm no better than anybody else, not anybody sitting up here or anybody sitting in the audience. I'm just a ratepayer. I've been in Rialto since 1986, okay? So he was angry when I took over the presidency, and I did not want this job, and nor did I seek it. And that's the God's truth. And I did it to stop the shenanigans that were going on in this water district and hopefully try to fix it with some very good people, and that's what we're trying to do. I've been quiet about this whole thing. I've never said a doggone thing about any of the stuff going on or any of the stuff in the newspapers because I felt it best, you know what, just let nature take its course because the right thing will happen and the right things will come through and people will eventually see it. But I keep getting pelted every single day by one newspaper or another, people who don't know what's going on or think they know what's going on or believe what Clifford Young is saying about me and my family and my career. And you know what? Tonight, I had it. That's why I let you guys talk as long as you want, because I want you to get it out of your system and tell everything that you know about what's been going on around here. And I get it. And I read some of the articles. And let me tell you, I got hit hard when I was the chief. I got hit hard when I was a city manager. So I'm used to this kind of stuff. But I'm getting to the point now where I'm getting tired of it. And I'll tell you what, I can't really respect a person that puts out false allegations, throws stuff against the wall to see what sticks. And this is what this guy is doing. And I, for one, am tired of it. He's smearing a good name of this guy sitting next to me who has done nothing wrong in his life that I've seen. He's a good man. And for him to make these allegations and do all the things that I saw him doing at this water district for the short period that I've been here, I'll tell you what, it's pretty doggone disgusting. With that, I give the floor to somebody else. Does the board member want to talk? Anybody else? All right. Legal counsel, do you have anything to report out? Closed session.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no final action taken. I did receive direction on two different lawsuits, so there's nothing to report out.
Thank you. Mr. General Manager, you are next. Do you have anything to say tonight?
Yes, I do.
Well,
I'd like to read a statement.
Go with it.
Okay. Clifford Young, Nyesha Davis, Patricia Romero have filed a lawsuit alleging claims against me that are outright lies. I've never engaged in any of the illegal activities they have alleged and never will. I have always followed the law and district policies and procedures to the best of my ability and will continue to do so. Regarding contracts, the contracts they allege were improperly issued were all issued with Clifford Young's direct involvement and, when appropriate, a vote of the full board to approve them and or the funding for them. For example, the full board approved the funding for the contracts in question in public session. The contractors all properly performed their work and were paid appropriately. The purchasing policy and Clifford Young's instructions and approvals were closely adhered to. Appointment to general manager. Clifford Young alleges that Dr. Michael Taylor hired me because we are friends. The fact of the matter is, Clifford Young recruited me directly for general manager and introduced me to Michael Taylor and the full board. I knew Clifford Young for several years before he recruited me, and I did not know any of the other board members until he introduced me to them during the recruitment process. I submitted my resume to Clifford Young, and he negotiated my contract as interim general manager. Human Resources received my district application, and the required background checks and medical exams were performed. My subsequent appointment to general manager was in keeping with the plan Clifford Young laid out when I was first recruited. Harassment and retaliation. Clifford Young and his co-conspirators have continually attacked me in attempts to harass me, retaliate against me, embarrass me, and damage my professional reputation. They continually allege without merit that I am not following district rules or adhering to the law or in other ways that I'm otherwise incompetent. He and his co-conspirators had threatened me with termination. The filing of outright lies to the court and to the press are further evidence of Clifford Young and his co-conspirators continuing harassment and retaliation and attempts to embarrass me and damage my professional reputation. Fairness to all parties and the public, I respectfully request that the press prints all sides of the story to ensure fairness to all the parties involved and allow the public to draw their conclusions based on hearing all the facts. I am confident that they will learn that I will serve them honorably and with integrity at all times. Thank you.
Thank you, Clarence. With that said, I'm going to add one more thing. When I first started coming to the Water District after I got elected, I found out that Clifford Young was here 5 days a week. Not just for an hour or two, but most of the day. Yes, ma'am, I read sign language a little bit. Just most of the day. And then I found out that he was basically running under Bob Crispin, who was here. He was basically running the Water District. Clifford Young was running the Water District. And he was chastising employees as though he was their boss. And I finally told him, you can't do this. This is causing problems. His comment to me was, I'm the president of the board. I'll do whatever the damn I want. And okay. He started coming in with this guy over here, coming into the meetings every day and telling him what to do and how he's going to run this district. Finally, it got to a point, like I said, I didn't want to do this job. I didn't want to. My wife wants me to quit this thing, okay? She wants me to quit it. And I told her, I know, I'm not going to let this guy run me out. He's not going to bully me around. I go, I've been in law enforcement way too long to be bullied by the likes of Mr. Clifford Young. He has no idea who he's dealing with. And when I saw what he was doing to this man, insulting him, yelling at him, and telling him what to do and how he's going to run this district, that's a bunch of baloney. You hire this guy for his professional knowledge and talent, and as board members, you step away, you create policy, and you allow the people and the professionals to follow through with the policy and get it done. They're the pros. I'm not a professional water guy. I'm a cop. If you want me to run a police department, I can do that pretty doggone easily. You want me to run this place? You'll have leaks all over the place. I'm just telling you the truth. This guy is a very, very smart and talented man. And for him to be maligned by the likes of Dr. Clifford Young is horrible, abhorrent, and it's just, it says a lot about that person. And this is a guy that I knew for 5 years had hung out with me, and I had no idea of what was going on here and how he treated people, which is a bunch of baloney. You don't treat your employees like they're throwaways. Because you know what you do? You cause chaos in the organization. There is no chain of command. People are out of control because they see the board as temporary. They see the executive staff as temporary people that you replace like your underwear. And so they create their own environment for themselves out of a sense of protection because they just see everybody as temporary. Now we're establishing a chain of command back in the organization. This board is detailed with the chore of trying to stabilize this organization and get some true leadership in here that starts from the top with the general manager, his staff, on down, and is given policy only by the board. You know how many days I am here a week? Clarence, how many days am I here a week?
Only for committee meetings and things like that.
That's it. This is not, that's right. I don't, exactly, Butch. I do not want to spend my life at this place. I got better things to do. You know, but I fulfill my obligation as a duly elected person, and that's what I do. But I don't run this place. I don't come in here and tell him what to do.
Your job is to set policy.
That's exactly right.
Hire a general manager, he's supposed
to do the That's exactly right. Apparently, one of us up here on the board didn't get that memo.
He never got it.
Well,
immediately from the day he came in. Well,
I'm not going that far. I just wanted to let you know where I'm coming from and the fact that, you know, he has maligned this man, he has maligned this man, he has maligned this man. It's pretty doggone disgusting and it's immature. That is true. So you're probably going to see more articles in the newspaper come out. You know, there's nothing I can do about it, but tonight I wanted everybody to get a chance to tell their side of the story and to just throw it out there.
Thank you.
So with that said, unless there's anything else, you got something?
I'd like to say something to Clarence. I support you as a general manager. I supported Butcher Reiser as a general manager. All the GMs, I try to do that. And I know that you're being distracted a great deal. It's difficult for you to operate the district under the circumstances. I hope that the ratepayers will help us maybe to resolve some of our internecine conflict that we have. I think if we all work together, support you, your leadership, that we'll be able to turn things around here in the district. Morale right now is at low ebb. Performance is tied to morale. And so we're looking forward to your leadership, and hopefully the board will support you and we'll be able to get our house in order and turn things around here. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much for your comments.
I just want to say a couple things. First of all, thank you, Dr. Taylor, for your words. It means a lot. I do want everybody to understand that Dr. Taylor and I, when we got elected, obviously we have to learn as fast as we can and take things in stride. Our only objective is to not only enforce policy, but make sure that the budget stays on track. But a thing with Dr. Taylor and I is we understand that it's an organization that needs to run. It has to deliver water to the staff, to the customers, and that requires sometimes hiring more staff. I have full faith in our general manager and the human resources department, as well as the rest of the executive staff, to bring on qualified individuals to do their job. If they are not qualified to do their job, their evaluations will reflect that accordingly. They will no longer be here. One of the biggest battles Clarence had when he got on was he was very short-staffed as far as administration goes and people out in the field. We are a growing water district. Any concerns about that, go check anywhere in North Fontana, North Rialto. We are a growing water district. Our water supply demands are increasing. Ask the engineering folks. So just know that we are doing the best we can with the information that we have. Unfortunately, as you all know, sometimes the board is not always apprised of all of the information. So we have to make decisions based on the information we have. Sometimes we learn things the right way, sometimes we learn things the wrong way. Real quickly, touching about the media, I wasn't going to say anything because I wasn't going to bother with wasting my time on it. Everybody understands how newspaper articles work. There's at least two sides to every story. Please understand that no elected official on this board is a defendant in the current civil lawsuit. If you need a copy of it, let us know. It's public record. Just make sure you guys do your homework. Thank you guys for your time.
All right. With that said, hopefully on a happy note, I hope everybody gets home safely. And I want to thank you for your honesty, and I want to thank you for your attendance. Good night.
I'm sorry.
I make a motion to adjourn. Oh, do you have something?
I apologize, President Dr. Taylor. I wanted to let the community know that our next board meeting would have fallen on the 4th of July. The district is closed, so the regular board meeting will be taking place on July 11th. Apologies to San Bernardino Water District. We will not be able to make that meeting scheduled that night, but we will be hosting our having our regular board meeting, 6 o'clock closed session, 6:30 open session.
And the rest of the upcoming meetings that we're going to have, they're posted on the website, so we don't have to go over them.
That's correct.
All right. Thank you. With that, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting. Second. Any objections? See none, so move. You don't have to take the roll call.